I've been listening to some of your preaching places you've gone in the last few weeks, and what you have preached has brought honor to Jesus Christ. Amen. It's brought honor to this church and this ministry. Amen. I had a nephew of mine ask me one time in some of my early days here, do you have anybody who can help you bear the burden? And I said, not right now. I can't say that anymore. I have a number of you that really do help me bear the burden. Okay? And Dale, as long as you see that thing over there as a tool,
that's right.
Yes, sir. God will use it greatly. Amen. He'll use you greatly. Yes, sir. Thank you. You go ahead and preach. Oh, yeah. You want to hear my stomach gurgle back there? All right.
I do thank everybody who supported me and those who pretended to support me. Because I do realize there are people who pretend to support. Okay? It's just how it is. But I also want to make it clear that I did not get a doctorate. For anybody sitting in this church or anybody sitting outside this church, I got it for those who are in the jail. Because that's who I want to help. That's who the Lord has given me a heart for, those people. Number two, I didn't get that doctorate to learn Bible. Thank God I didn't take what that college learned as Bible, because it would have dumbed me down. Okay, I'm being honest with you. I learned my Bible sitting in that pew right there and sitting alone with the Spirit of God at my table every day. That's where I learned my Bible. And that's why I thank God for what He's done in my life. Because if I would have took those courses without a man of God up here teaching us and me sitting alone with my Bible, who knows what I would have believed. I know one thing, it would have had me somewhere off in space and thinking and saying things and doing things that are not true. And that's kind of what I want to teach on this morning. And it's how the Baptist churches, and how many of them I've been to in the last few years, are claiming one thing but totally living different. Okay, they're living different, they talk different, and it's to their shame. And it's to those who are listening and doing things for man. Okay, I don't do things for man. There's nobody in this church I'm trying to impress. Not one. There's not one. I promise you, I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm surely not trying to impress my wife, because she sees me through the good and bad times. Okay? So there's no impressing there. But I am trying to impress a God. I'm trying to show Him that I am serious about this thing, and I want what He has to teach me. And so I want to read a quote. And I know Pastor Heen would love this, because he always says, maybe you should use some quotes once in a while from somebody. So I am. And I read this last night, and I thought, my goodness, this is perfect for what I'm going to teach on. And it says, if thou liftest up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Exodus 20:25. And it goes on to say, God's altar was built to be built of unhewn stones, that no trace of human skill or labor might be seen upon it. Human wisdom delights to trim and arrange the doctrines of the Bible and the cross into a system more artificial and more congenial than with the deprived taste of fallen nature. Instead, however, of improving the gospel, carnal wisdom pollutes it until it becomes another gospel and not of the truth at all. All alterations and amendments of the Lord's own word are defilements and pollutions. Charles Spurgeon in the 1800s said that. How much more today? How much more today that man is putting in their wisdom and their knowledge? And I sat underneath that for the years that I was in college, and I sit underneath it when I go and visit other churches, of how man has replaced what God is trying to teach. Man has replaced the Bible. Man has replaced it, the knowledge of what God wants to teach. And man has stepped in the way. And so what I really want to teach on here, and I may have taught this here before, but I know that when I was in prayer that the Lord would have me teach this. And so I want to teach on studying the tabernacle. And this is just an outline. This is just something, a way that we can learn how to get into the Bible, a way we can learn how to do things, a way that God would honor our studies, okay? And so for time's sake, I can't read Exodus 25 through 30, because that's what you'll find, the tabernacle. That's where you'll find it being built. But I want to give you some points out of it. And so when beginning to study the tabernacle, many do not know where to begin.
Many don't have a starting point. They have no clue where to begin. And so I want to show where you can start at. Show what is one of the necessary things to be. There are some important things to note before the study begins. This format can be done with any study. Okay? This doesn't have to be just one for the tabernacle. This can be used anywhere. Okay? And so, for example, I've done it with the book of Leviticus and I've done it with the book of Hebrews. You want to find out something very interesting? You want to learn some stuff about your Bible? Get in the book of Leviticus and synonymous, do it side by side in the book of Hebrews. Okay? Do it side by side, Leviticus and the book of Hebrews, and it'll open up your understanding so much more of the Bible. It'll open your understanding much more than you had before you got in there. And you know what? It's a blessing. And I encourage you to get in and study your Bible. Starting out with Exodus 25, verses 3 through 7, is make an inventory list, okay? God's going to lay out a list here, and he's going to give things that he asks, okay? Here's where the trouble starts. Here's where the trouble starts with man. Here's where the trouble starts in the Baptist churches, okay? Because they're not going to leave that list alone, okay? They're going to try to add to it and take away from it, okay? And here's the point that I want to prove, is that God has put this list in Exodus chapter 25, verses 3 through 7. God gave an inventory list. And these things must be kept in mind that God is asking for these, not Moses. Number two, the only thing that God asked for from man is that they be willing. Okay? It's all he asked. He didn't ask for their opinion. He didn't ask, should I do this? He didn't ask, is this the size that I should? That's not what he asked. He said nothing. He says, these things, and I'm going to show you that. If you'll turn with me to Exodus 25, I want to read the first two verses here, and I want to clear up a mess because I hear it all the time. And so I want to clear this up. Exodus chapter 25, I want to read the first two verses. Exodus 25, verse two verses. And it says this, and you'll have to excuse me, we drove for 8 hours to Albany and back yesterday. I'm a little sore. I didn't get much sleep and stuff. So if I'm stuttering and all that stuff, I'm not nervous. I'm just in a lot of pain. And so Exodus 25, verses 1 and 2, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses. So we see who that's coming from. Okay? Man is out of the way. This is not anything that man is asking for. And it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they may bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. Okay? So we see here that God is not involving man. He's not asking them, hey, what do you think I should bring? What do you think I should make this out of? No, this is all coming from God. But God has been put on the back burner there, Lonnie. And you're going to hear it over and over again. Matter of fact, I'll probably repeat this in my message, but many commentaries, lexicons, many... Many Baptist books that I have read are teaching NIV doctrine. Okay, you know why? They sneak it in there because they don't go back and they don't check it with their Bible. And I'm talking good Baptist preachers. Good Baptist preachers, and they're teaching NIV doctrine. Because they know the people aren't going to, you know, the problem is they can't sit down and study their Bible on their own. The problem is they want to skip over all the studying part and they rely on the pastor. They want to rely on the evangelist. They want to rely on the Sunday school teacher. They want to rely on a book. They want to rely on a CD and forget the studying themselves. We'll just go out there and we'll listen to, and let everybody else do the studying. Great. And then they don't go through it themselves. There's no checking it. They just take it for face value. And I see it over and over again. And I'm just telling you, it leads to confusion. Much confusion. And so, the very first thing we must do, in Psalm 115, verse 3 says, but our God is in heavens. He hath done whatsoever he pleased. Okay? Whatsoever he pleased. He's not asking man to put his input in. This is what God has to say. So the very first thing in the studying your Bible, I have to say this. First, start by erasing what every man, book, and commentary has taught you over the years on this subject. Forget about it. Get it out of your head. Be done with it. Because I'm telling you now, you're going to get in here and you're going to start reading these things and it's not going to make sense to you. Why? Because man has put his thoughts into your head. To get an understanding of the way God looks at it, you've got to get those thoughts out of your head. I've had to do that myself. When I got out of prison back in 2002, there wasn't much that I thought that I knew about this Bible. I can quote verses frontwards and backwards. It didn't matter what Bible you put in front of me. You know what that did to me? Nothing. You know what it did for me? Zero. But thank God from 2002 until I got saved in 2011, God erased that out of my head. God took that from me because I would have went into my studying with those things in my head and the Bible would have confused me. I hear it all the time. Well, the Bible's confusing to me. No, what man taught you is confusing you. The Bible's not. God is not the author of confusion. What man has taught you is confusing you. That's why we need to get rid of it. Be it known. Now, am I saying, listen, not all commentaries are wrong. Not all the books are wrong. Not all men of God are wrong. I'm just telling you now, you'll get into this study. You'll go ahead and erase what they had to say. Now, here's two things that's going to happen. You're going to either prove to them that they're right. What that man has taught you, either it's going to either prove to you that it's right, or it's going to prove to you that they're in error. But I know this. Most people today are going to take what that man has taught them over what the Bible says. I hear it in their talk. I hear it in their teachings. I see it in their lessons. I read it in their books. I listen to it on their CDs. And it drives me up the wall. I sat there and I went to that college. And I thank God for their counseling course. I'm telling you, want a counseling course? They got counseling course second to none. And I mean, you can't beat it. You can't touch it. And that's what I have my doctorate in is counseling. Because that's what I want to use it for, is to help counsel people and help them to get their life back where Jesus Christ would have them. Get them back in church. Get them saved and show them they can have a good life. But if I sat there and listened to what these people taught, I'd be just as confused as the next person. And we wonder why the churches in America today with these young preachers are confused. They are confused. Pastor, if I had to go and be a pastor of a church with what I would have learned out of that college, I'm just telling you now, it's no wonder why the pews are empty. It's not a wonder why people don't have real salvation. I see now. So what college has done for me, it's given me a degree in counseling, which I absolutely love. But it's also taught me something else. It's taught me the thing, Stephen, that I got to go out there and face for the stupidity in Baptist churches. Just being real. So what it's done. It's opened my eyes to the reality of what's going on in our churches today. And it's a shame. It's a shame. It hurts my heart to see it. That's what it's done. If I would have took what they taught, it would have dumbed me down. It would have made me just a complete fool in believing what they believe. Now your Bible's either going to confirm that they're right, or your Bible's going to show that it's wrong. When the Bible shows them that it's wrong, they refuse to see it because somebody else told them it was this. Right. Telling you that right now. I promise you, with everything that I say here today, that's exactly what happens.
That's right.
In order to study this book, in order to study this Bible exactly the way God wants it, you have to let go of that stuff. It's got to be erased out of your head. We got to look at things through God's eyes. We have to look at it from a fresh point of view. We have to, I can almost guarantee you this, you're going to be shocked at what you learn. You're going to be shocked at what you see. You're going to be shocked at what God shows you when you finally, Pastor calls it breaking those chains that man has set on you. Breaking those things, and you have the freedom to study your Bible, and you and the Holy Ghost can sit down and you can learn this together. What a wonderful gift. What a wonderful gift. I wouldn't trade the knowledge that God has given me of His Word for anything man can teach me. I just wouldn't do it. 2 Timothy 2:15. Boy, it's a popular verse. I tell you what. I mean, most about everybody in here can quote it. But hardly anybody lives it. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God. It's not that way anymore. I go visit enough churches today where I see everybody studying to prove each other.
Yeah.
Stop what that verse said. Study to show yourself approved unto God. He wants to see how serious you are. He wants to see what you're learning about Him. He wants to see your diligence in studying His book, not what somebody else can do for each other. Well, imagine if it was a battle between me and you, Pastor. How horrible would that be? But that's what's going on in the churches today.
That's right.
One's got to try to up one on the other. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what it says. Who's going to show you if you're dividing it right or wrong? God. God is. Of course, a man can step in. My pastor's corrected me on things before because God gave him that. But I know he studies his Bible. One of the words in there, Chris, is called work. Work if. That means it's something you continue to do. Nobody wants to work in the Bible anymore. That's what it says. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. There's work when it comes to studying. There's work in studying. Nobody wants to study anymore. Why? Well, we have the internet. We can listen to what everybody else is saying. We can read books, commentaries, and everything. We don't need to go do studying anymore. We don't need to show ourselves approved unto God anymore. We don't need His Bible anymore. We got everybody else teaching us everything. That's a shame. It's a shame. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 11 says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Boy, if man can get that, if man can just get a grip on holding on to that and realizing God's thoughts and His ways are so different. They don't agree with my ways, Stephen. They don't agree with my thoughts, and I have to accept that. But today they don't want to accept it because they have that in front of their name, doctor.
Amen.
You're a doctor above God? You're a doctor of that Bible you say you believe? I think not. But that's how they live. That's how they live. And it says this, verse 10, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be to them that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." You see, that's God speaking. It's Him telling us what it's going to prosper. It's Him telling us what it's going to do. But man has gotten in the way. Man has stepped in the way of everything, and it's ruining everything about Christianity. It definitely is. Just in the 6.5 years that I've been saved, 6.5 years of being saved, 6.5 years of sitting in churches and watching it crumble. You know why? Because man's knowledge. Thank God I don't have that. Thank God I'm not in that trap. Thank God I have a Bible in front of me and Jesus Christ. God says you can trust that, Dale, with everything. You can trust that above every man, above every book, above every CD. You can trust every bit of it. If I didn't have that, Pastor, I wouldn't have anything. Amen. It's my lifeline. It's everything to me. That's why I get up and read it early in the morning. Why? Because it makes me a better person and I don't have trouble? No. I still have trouble. I'm not a better person. I'm not any smarter. But I think differently. My desires are different. I know that God sits down and teaches me those things. I know I handle my family different. Many Christians, including Baptists, want to change what these things are in the Bible. Why? Because knowledge puffeth up. 1 Corinthians says in 8:1 says, knowledge puffeth up. Knowledge makes people think that there's something they are. Knowledge puffed Satan up. It got him prideful. And God cast them out of heaven. And though, you know what? We have preachers and evangelists and Sunday school teachers and people that are in churches. They have the same type of pride where they're puffed up because of their knowledge. And they think they know better than God. Hey, let me tell you what the Greek meaning of this means. Let me tell you what the Hebrew meaning of this means. Let me tell you what the archaic word of this means. You show me once what God said I had to know that. You know I'd be lost and dying to go to hell if I had to learn that nonsense? How would I ever find out salvation? How would I ever have a closer relationship with God if I had to know all that nonsense? God says that He takes the foolish things, right here, foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I'm not afraid to admit that I'm a fool. I'm not afraid that I lived for 40 years as a fool. But God will take what He teaches me. You understand what He teaches me to confound the wise. Exodus 27:1, it says this, and thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, and 5 cubits long, 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. So we see here God is asking for shittim wood. So in Baptist commentaries and perverted Bibles, they agree with changing this word. I just want you to know that. The perverted Bibles and Baptist commentaries are going to change shittim wood to acacia. That's NIV doctrine. That's NIV doctrine all day long. And let me just tell you this. It won't work. Have you ever studied the two woods out? I have. Should have won one award. Here, let me tell you, Akea Wood won an award. Let me tell you about Akea Wood. Akea Wood, and I may not be saying it right, I'm not a man of eloquent speech like Moses. Okay, I just say it how I think. God will correct me on it. He'll teach me how to say it. So Akea Wood, you know what that is? That's particle board. It's the same thing you go, that cheap Walmart furniture, that's what it is. Shittim wood is the same weight as water. And it won't burn. And it's the same weight, and it's the same strength as that water. Jewish people today still use it in Israel to build cabinets and seats and stuff like that when they want them to last for a long time. So shittim wood, why would God use shittim wood to build an altar? This is what he's building here. Isn't there fire going to happen to it? Sure is. Shittim wood won't burn. How about that? Because it's the same consistency as water. It's so heavy and it's so dense like water that it won't burn. The burning bush, I can't prove it, but I believe the burning bush was a shittim wood tree. It didn't burn. Moses stood there and it was on fire. Okay? Why wouldn't God use that same thing to build the tabernacle? I believe that. I do. I can't prove it, but I believe God. So let's just say, because man thinks, you know, well, they had to, at this point, did men know that they were going to tear down that tabernacle and build it and move it for 40 years? No, they did not. So let's just say they used the Achaia. You think it would have lasted for 40 years? No. Did God not know that they were going to move around? Yes, he did. They did not know that. When he's asking them to build this, they're not thinking they're going to keep moving. They're not thinking of, oh, well, you know, this thing might burn. No, that's not what they're thinking. God had to prepare them for what he thought was going to happen. But see, man's got to step in line because, you know, the Achaia tree would make it lighter. It would be easier for them to tear it down. But it wouldn't have lasted for 40 years. They would have had to keep rebuilding it. I only see in my Bible, they had to build that one time. They built it one time and it lasted 40 years of sacrifices. But that's not all. It could handle the heat, it could handle the fire, but it was also covered in, ready? It was also covered in bronze. How many believe it was covered in bronze? Bronze is not even in your Bible.
Matter of fact, bronze didn't even come out until after Jesus' death, probably 200 or 300 years after Jesus' death, bronze didn't come out.
Brass. God asked for brass. Brass was going to cover that shittim wood for the altar. Why brass? Don't forget now, back in the days, brass was pure. Today, brass is not pure because why can't we find pure brass anymore in our stores and all that? Because man has found a way to add things to it and take things out to make it cheaper so they can sell more of it. You're right. It won't hold up to the fire of the tabernacle.
But when God called for it, it would. When God called for it, it would.
When God called for brass, it could handle the fire. It could handle the flames. Bronze didn't come out until after. Okay? Later on. And it was a different compound. It was a different mixture. Today, the brass is a different mixture than what we would have found back in the days when God was asking them to build this and book Exodus. Why? Because God knew how it was going to handle. God knew that it could last the 40 years. God knew it could handle the heat. God knew it could handle the fire. And for all those sacrifices, could you imagine, if you've ever read the book of Leviticus and so on and so forth, how many sacrifices they've done on that thing one time? One altar. It was built one time, and it lasted over and over again. They tear it down, carry it and go. Tear it down, carry it and go. And guess what? It lasted the whole time. At that point, the people did not know that they were going to be moving for 40 years. God knew that, though. But you know what? Go study your commentaries. Matter of fact, why don't you use this? Take your phone or tablet, and I want you to look it up on the internet, and it's going to tell you the exact wrong thing that I just taught you.
Do you know what they'll believe, Pastor? They'll believe what that thing on the tablet says before they will be.
Because man's telling you one thing, and God's telling you another. Either you believe it or you don't. Well, you know, the Hebrew word might not have meant. Here we go. Let's just start now. Let's just go with the Hebrew word, man. You tell me where I said that. I need to know the Hebrew word for what God asked there.
No, sir.
That's where it goes. I'm just telling you. I talk to enough people on the phone. I talk to them enough on the internet to see where they go with things. They just can't accept what God asked for and why God asked for. And they can't believe that God would even do such a thing as that.
Because it doesn't make sense to man. You understand, Ronnie? When things don't make sense to man, they want to put their part into it. They want to insert what makes sense to them. And this is why they can get away with living the life they live and studying the way they study. Because they put in what they want, not what God wants.
Because man thinks they know better than God by using a lighter wood and material that would be better and easier for man. But man is wrong because neither could take fire as the altar. The Achaia could not take the fire. It could not take the movement. The bronze couldn't take the heat of it. The bronze of today is a very weak metal. It's because man has mixed it. Everything that you see today is not the same as it was 40 and 50 years ago. And those of you who have been around that long, you understand things aren't made the same as it was. And over the centuries and over the years, things have become more diluted. They become more weak. Why? Because that's what man does. And that's what they're doing to the Bible and salvation. That's what they're doing with their knowledge and their nonsense. They keep adding stuff and taking stuff. Why? They're trying to stretch it out to believe what they believe. And they just won't leave it alone for what it says exactly. It's so hard about that. The simplicity that's in Christ. I'm a simple person. If it got any harder than that, I wouldn't be able to understand it. That means I would have sat in that pew and lost for the rest of my life. I would have went to hell because of that. But that's not it. That's man's foolishness talking. That's man's foolishness talking. The King James Bible believers teach and believe NIV doctrine, but claim that they would never change the word. I hear it over and over again, and it breaks my heart. Remember, God created brass, so God would have known what it can do. Also, keep back in mind, you know, it was made up of a whole different compound and a mixture. It was pure brass when God asked for it, okay? Today, man has found a way to make it cheaper, mix it, take things away to fit what they want for their money, for their thoughts. That's what it's for. Things fail when man puts their self into it and take away God. God asked for these things. He did not ask what man thought or what man should be. He told them what should be used. You show me once in your Bible what God asked them, what should you be? Hey, Kyle, what do you think should be used to build this, man? Eric, I want to know, what do you think I should use this tabernacle? What do you think I should use to build that? It's nowhere in your Bible that God does that, ever. He tells them what to do. He tells them exactly. And he says this, though, but don't bring it to me unless you have a willing heart. Got to have a willing heart. Today people don't have a willing heart to study their Bible. They just don't. It's not there. Even in the last 7 years that I've been saved, I don't see people studying their Bible like they should. Through the whole Bible, God's been trying to remove man out of his plans and out of his ways, but man keeps trying to force him back in. Many here today in this very church would say, I would never correct God's word. But they do it through the teachings and books and commentaries. They read King James Bibles but have NIV doctrine. Another example is you hear people always say, and I hear it from people who have a doctor in front of their name. They'll say, hey, brother, what do you think about the veil being hung up in the holiest of holies? Oh, okay. The holiest of holies? Can I ask where you might have gotten that from? Because it's not in my Bible. Well, sure. Oh, no, it's not. The holiest of holies is the NIV doctrine. It's not a King James Bible doctrine. I just want you to know that. Exodus 26:33 says, and thou shalt hang the veil under the thatches, that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil of the ark of the testimony, and the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy. Not the holiest of holies. And they will sit there and argue with me about it. I'll say, well, here, let me show you the verse. Well, listen, you have to understand in the originals. Oh, here we go with that nonsense. They just can't take God's word for what it says. They don't want to understand what God really had to say about things. They want to go ahead, just like man has always done, and they want to put their two cents in. They want to put their wisdom in. They want to put their nonsense in there and cause confusion. My goodness, I got confused the other day on the phone. I mean, I got tore out the frame, Pastor. You know I learned that lesson. Yeah. I just had no clue what was trying to be said to me. I just had, I mean, it was out on left park to me. And God had to use that to teach me a lesson. And I had to learn a hard lesson out of that. And I had to humble myself and tell somebody that I was so sorry for what I had done. Because all it did was raw confusion in me. I had no clue what the thing meant. The devil and man's knowledge have slipped right into the churches, and we've been too blind to see it. They remove God and His Word out of their lives and put in what makes sense to them. Keep in mind, I get this question so many times. Dale, where did they get all of this stuff to build the tabernacle out in the desert? Go to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. At Exodus chapter 2, it tells us. Exodus 2, verse 20 through 22. It says this. And he said unto his daughters, excuse me, am I in the right place? Yes. That's not the right place. I wrote down the Exodus 2, yeah, I'm in the wrong place. Here's what he did. I wrote down the wrong scripture. I'm looking for the one where he sends them. He says, they're still in Egypt. He says, I'm going to send you out. You're going to leave Egypt. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to go next door to all. Who?
322.
All right, I wasn't far off. Here we go. But every woman should borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels and silver and jewels of gold and remnant, and you should put on them on your sons and your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. That right there is where the tabernacle came from. Okay. Now at that point, they did not know why they were taking that. They thought, oh my goodness, we're going to be rich. Look at all this stuff we're going to have. And then God said, he says, no, I'm about to give you something that you never had, and that's me. I'm about to come down here and dwell with you. But you know what? They weren't happy with that. Today, Christians are not happy with God as their inheritance. A Levite didn't get an inheritance. God said, I am your inheritance. People aren't happy with that today, Pastor. They want more than God as their inheritance. This is why they try to mix in the world and mix in Christianity. Because they want part of the world and they want part Christianity. But God says you can't have both. You're either going to have one or the other. Which one is it? Are you happy with God as your inheritance? Are you happy with the things God has blessed you with, or do you covet more? Do we always have to strive for better? Do we always have to strive for perfection? Do we always have to get a better job or better this? How do you know God doesn't want you right where you are? If you're so happy with God as your inheritance, why aren't we learning His Bible and living it like He tells us to? What an inheritance we have sitting before us. If you have a King James Bible on your lap, that's an inheritance to us. If somebody left you $1 million, you'd hold on to that. Oh, you'd love it and cradle it and everything else. But you won't do the same with the King James Bible. Supposedly, you're a lifeline. Supposedly, it's everything in the world to you. But yet, you just treat it like any other book. You treat it like just any old scrap, anything. Where's the meaning into it for you? Where is it? That's a challenge for everybody. He says this. With the inventory list that I told you to start in Exodus chapter 25, verses 3 through 7, what do you do now after you get the inventory list? Here's what you do. Every single thing that God asks for, run it through your Bible. Run it through your Bible. Take that inventory list in Exodus 25, verses 3 through 7. Now, I got a whole inventory list at home. I should have brought it because I did it all by hand. I drew every single piece of it by hand. I put every single thing down, and then I put every verse that is ever found everywhere in the Bible. Okay? And then what happens when I've done the inventory list, it showed me a lot of things. Number one, it showed me salvation in the New Testament. It showed me of things to come. Why? Because it says it's the shadow of things to come. That's what that thing does. You know what else it showed me? It showed me Jesus Christ. It showed me the cross. You see, these things are important to study. He put them there for us to study. And what I want to say this is when you first met your husband or your wife, you'd do anything to get to know them. You wanted to spend all the time in the world with them. You want to know their likes and their dislikes. And you want to know what they wanted to do, what they didn't want to do. You wanted to know every single thing about them. Shouldn't we do the same with Jesus? Shouldn't we do the same with studying our Bible? I believe this. A person can be saved, but not ever fully come to the understanding of Jesus Christ and who He is without studying the Old Testament.
Just like you would meet a person. Just like you would meet a person, you would do everything in the world to get to know that person better. I believe a saved person needs to do that with Jesus Christ, and they're going to do it by the Word of God. They're not going to do it any other way. They're not going to do it by just listening to people. They're not going to do it just by listening to a Sunday school teacher or just by listening to an evangelist. God's going to reward those who diligently seek Him. God's going to give the knowledge to those who diligently seek Him. The problem is today everybody wants to skip from, yes, Lord, I really want to know that. And I'm just telling you, it's my witness, I hear it over and over again from people who are standing behind the pulpit week after week that they want knowledge so bad that they go get it everywhere else except for the Bible, and the stuff they say is unbelievable. And they really believe. Now, to say anything to them, it would drive them off a cliff, so you just got to be quiet about it. But a person who really wants to know Jesus Christ needs to know Him from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. That's how you're going to know Him. That's what it's going to be. That's how you're going to know everything. So many people get confused over certain things and certain issues and so on and so forth. It's in your Bible. I'm almost done here. I know everybody's hot and bored. That's all good. This is what a doctorate does for you. A doctorate to make you as smart as me. Enjoy it. Hey, I've heard some comments, you know, about, you know, hey, is this going to make you smarter and all? No, it doesn't. It didn't make me any smarter. You know what it did for me? It built me up to know what I got to face out there. That's what it did for me. You know what else it did for me, Ronnie? It did open doors for me where I go stand in front of the government and they look at me with my rap sheet and I say, this guy's done something. This guy's done something. It's going to make it easier to let me in. And where? I want to get into the jails and prisons. That's where I want to spend the rest of my life. If I spent the rest of my life teaching these people in Allegheny County, I'd be happy. I don't need to go anywhere else. I don't need a huge this and a huge that. Why can't God start a revival right here in Allegheny County? That's my prayer. My prayer is, Lord, here's how I want it. Lord, would you get in this thing, Lord, and would you save, first of all, save those guards? Because they're going to make a huge impact on those inmates. I can't be with them all the time, but them guards can. And I remember the impact that seeing a guard get saved. And I think I told you the story here. I'll make it quick. They worked some weird shifts, four on, three off, three on, four on. And I remember this CO, very mean, very, very mean. He left and he went on his 4 days off and he came back. When he came back, he was whistling and I mean, happy. He's talking to people. I said, my goodness, what is going on? So I'm a trustee at this point. So I get to go out there and I get to feed and go out there and clean. And I said, hey, what happened? And he looked and he said, I got saved. I said, well, what's those things you're pulling out of your pocket there, man? What is that in your pocket? He said, these are memory verses. You know what that did for me? The very next night or the night after, I can't remember exactly, I went to my first Bible study ever in my entire life because of that. Amen. God brought that back to me about 3 weeks ago when I was praying. I said, you're right, Lord. I need to change my prayer to start for these guards to get saved. Why? Because they'll make an impact. They're with those people more than I am. Until the Lord so opens that door for me to get in there as much as I need to be, then I'll get them guards saved. And when them guards get saved, they can get in there and spend time with them. That's my prayer. And then I say, hey, Lord, don't forget the inmates and their families. Because that's where it's going to begin. How about it for the first time, all of us, and that includes me, Stephen, how about it for the first time that somebody walks out of the Allegheny County Jail and comes and sits among these pews, and he's got his wife, and he's got his children, and he's carrying a Bible with him because Jesus Christ saved them, and he's forming in them, and he's giving them a life. How about that?
Oh, amen. Come on.
Lord, how about if I spent 30 years in one jail and one family came in? Would it be worth it? You better believe it.
Amen.
It's right here. We sat in those pews and God did it to us. Jesus Christ saved me 6.5 years ago when He'd done it. But somebody had the heart enough to stand there and say, hey man, this is where it's at. This is where it's at. When you got to go into a jail and they hear 6, 7, 8 other different Bibles and other different teachings. What, Eric? What do I go in there with, Eric? What can I go in there with better than what they have? I'm holding it in my hand. Amen. I believe that.
I'm just that foolish to believe that this Bible is going to make a difference. You know why? Because just in the 2 years that I've been there, six, almost seven cases of King James Bible has been sent in.
Just by preaching this, Bobby. He said, well, nobody's gotten saved yet. One man claims it.
I don't know if he is. But I know this. I know God has given me a heart for those people, and that's why
I got that right there.
I don't ever expect anybody to call me Dr. Dale. I could care less about all that nonsense means zero to me. You ask my wife, it means zero to me. I want that so I can get into the people that I love, that God has given me a heart for. I understand what it's like to have a heart of a pastor. I could never be a pastor.
Yes, sir.
But I tell you why I have a heart of a pastor. Why? Because God gave me a people. And I love those people. And you ask my wife, I sit up writing letters after letters. That's not even devotional. Letters that they write me after letter that they write me after letter that they write me after letter. What do I have to offer them? What can I give them? I'm going to give them Jesus Christ. I'm going to give them what this Bible says, because you know why? That's what did it for me and my family. And that's the only thing, Eric, that's ever going to do it for any family. And God says in Isaiah 61, I'm going to close with this. And he says, go and restore. Go rebuild those foundations. Jody, go restore those foundations for what? Generations to come. Hey, how about that one sitting next to you? For generations to come. It's falling apart here in Allegheny County. Go out there and restore. Restore. It says, be called the restorer of the breach. There's been a breach here. There's been a breach, and where Jesus Christ can't even hardly be found, there's a remnant right here at Black Creek. How about it? You guys pray for revival in the Allegheny County Jail. You pray that those guards get saved. You pray that those inmates get saved and that we can have a revival right here in Allegheny County. Here's the problem. You know why people don't pray? Because they don't believe it. They don't believe it can happen in a little Allegheny County.
I'm just crazy enough to believe it can.
Amen.
I am. Pastor, I'm done.
Don't turn that off yet. First, I have to rebuke you.
He used the term, I can never be a pastor. Pastor is not a local church term. Local church term is bishop. Okay? Deacon. Pastor is an Old Testament word, New Testament word, goes into both. The Church of Israel used it. Church of the Lord Jesus Christ uses it. Pastor just means that shepherd, that person that watches over people. If you go into the Allegheny County Jail and ask people who their pastor is, who are they going to say? Dale Morey. Who carries him on their heart? Dale Morey does. Does that make him the bishop? No, it doesn't. Okay, that's not an organized local church. Accept your rebuke?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you. All right. Father, thank you for what we've heard here. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. All right. We'll skip our last song, you ladies.